Radical. Welcome to this week's episode of the Print on Demand cast. Each week, join the gnarly Travis and Josiah as they provide insight into the print on demand industry and equip you with the totally tubular tools, advice, and strategies you need to achieve success and hopefully have a few laughs along the way. Now on to this week's totally tubular show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Print on Demand cast. As always, I'm Josiah, joined with my host, Travis Ross. Travis, how's it going, man? Happy Monday as we're recording. How's your weekend? How's your Monday? What's going on? How's the things? Update the people. People want to
weekend
know.
Was,
how you doing?
Weekend was great. Weekend was normal. Went out to dinner with some friends on Saturday and enjoyed that. My daughter actually... she went on a trip to Seattle. She left like Thursday and came back Saturday night. And it was just her and two other of her girlfriends. And they had a really good time. And so
that's awesome.
Getting all of the info on her story and all of her stuff. I do have to say, because I know there are at least a few people in the listening audience that care about Arsenal Football Club. And this was quite the weekend for Arsenal. We beat our North London rivals, the Tottenham Hotspurs.
Nice. Who, what a name.
Oh, they are the worst. We despise them as Arsenal fans. Anyway, we beat them 2-0 and are still first in the league. It's an amazing season. We're having a great time. Almost halfway through the season. So anything can happen, but we're gonna enjoy it while we can. We're getting ready to go to ISS.
Yes, Thursday. We leave Thursday. Yeah. Got barring these,
we printed these little
mic flags.
This is a mic flag, so we'll have like a microphone in here, and we're gonna use it on the floor.
What you'll find out if you come to ISS is that we're gonna ask if you have a dad joke, because we want to know. So we'll be capturing content, doing interviews, have the mic flags. Well, that's gonna look super official. I'm actually really excited, because you always see those mic flags on sports broadcasts and all that kind of stuff, and now it's like it's legit.
That was awesome.
Printed on our very own UV machines.
Printed ourselves. It's awesome. Great advertisements. We're like, how'd you do that? We make them. So like, we can print on those. So hit us up, let us know. We'll teach you how it works.
That's right.
That's awesome. Well, we got a great episode coming up. An interview, finally. I say finally. It seems like it's been a minute, but I know we enjoy interviews because we get to learn and talk to cool people, interesting people. Mm-hmm. The listeners enjoy interviews because they don't have to listen to us anymore. It's done. we have a great interview for you guys today for this week's main event with a guy that reached out to us. Adam Young reached out to us on YouTube, said he'd love to chat. We accepted the invitation, and lots of good stuff coming at you guys. At least two golden nugget moments about to drop, and we haven't landed on a bumper for it yet, but it happened. It was spur of the moment. So we're really excited for you guys to hear Adam and what his journey has been.
Yeah. Really cool guy. Really enjoyed our conversation with him. So let's not let any cats out of the proverbial bags, and let's just jump into it. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, here we go. This week's main event, our interview with Adam Young.
Ladies and gentlemen, the main event.
All right, Travis, I'm excited to have our next guest on the show for this week's main event. Someone who actually found us. We didn't necessarily find him. He kind of reached out, started chatting, and through conversation, we have invited Adam Young onto the show. So for those of you that are listening, here's a little bit about Adam before we bring him on. Adam Young is an online entrepreneur who has experience with print-on-demand, blogging, affiliate marketing, and Amazon KDP. Sounds like he would be a great guest. Good thing we booked him. He began his journey back in 2015 selling on eBay and Amazon FBA and has always loved the concept of self-employment, passive income, and scaling out digital business. Well, like I said, seems like our kind of people. So I'm excited to invite or to bring to the show Adam Young. Adam, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule and joining us. And thanks for reaching out initially. It's great to have you.
Yeah. Hey, thank you guys. I'm happy to be here. This is great.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like Josiah said, you reached out in the YouTube, in one of our YouTube videos, and listening to that intro that Josiah just gave you, man. We have very similar paths, except it sounds like you're still doing the internet digital side, and I'm sitting in a warehouse making this shit, so right. but it sounds like we kind of got started in the same way, so it's really cool. Very awesome. But aside from kind of this whole intro that Josiah just did, we'd love to kind of let hear it in your own words, like your whole print on demand story. Can you kind of take us back to the beginning and just share a little bit about that?
I'd be happy to. So, I went to college and got a degree and got a normal job, and was working the 9-to-5, like many other folks, and was interested in learning about some ways to make some extra money, creating a side hustle. And I really didn't have any specific direction I was going into, but stumbled onto, I started off literally going to garage sales and buying stuff and then flipping them on eBay, that kind of arbitrage thing. Yeah. And then
we know all about that.
I mean, it's still a great you little side hustle. You can absolutely still do it. I mean, 100%. So I did that for a little while, and then I eventually stumbled my way into Amazon FBA and sold on Amazon FBA for a couple years. I was doing some wholesale, buying some stuff wholesale and kind of repackaging, white labeling. And then I actually sold some pet products. I was selling antler chews, the antlers that dogs chew.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had a contact out west where I could source these antlers, and I was packaging them up and selling them. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so I did that for a couple years. But as you guys probably know, that's a lot of manual labor, right? You got to literally get the stuff, package it up. You got to send it into the warehouse. There's this upfront cost. So then I heard about Merch by Amazon, right? Which was this print-on-demand platform.
How did you hear about that? I'm curious how you heard about that.
I heard about it, I think, from when I was just doing Amazon FBA. This would have been back in like 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. In some of the like Facebook groups and Reddit forums and stuff like that. Okay. And someone in one of the groups or forums had mentioned it, right? That, hey, a lot of people are switching to Merch by Amazon, or that this is another Amazon program, right, that you can apply for. And so I literally applied, not even knowing what print on demand was. Like I read the little thing, was like, I'm just going to put in an application and didn't hear back for like 6 months. And then got an email. It was like, hey, you've been approved, you can open an account. So, then I was like, okay, I got to figure this out. Like, how does this work? What does this all mean? How does it work? And started off in, so that was 2017 whenever I applied to MBA, and started off my very first month with Merch by Amazon in January of 2018. Okay. So, this January marks my sixth year on Merch by Amazon. Hmm. And that's since awesome. Then I've done some Etsy, I've opened a couple Etsy shops, Redbubble shop, Amazon KDP, which is it's kind of like print on demand, but with
for books.
With books. Yeah. And then I got into some blogging and stuff like that. So, I've got shiny object syndrome, right? Where, I got to try this and try this. And, there's pros and cons to that. I definitely, jump around a little bit, but I'm starting to kind of narrow my focus and have figured out what works best for me, and my sort of my strengths so I'm all in now. I left my full-time job in late 2020, kind of at the peak of the pandemic.
Wow.
Yeah. So, a lot of stories you hear where people, you know, the pandemic affects their full-time employment. I was working at a local university, and our enrollment for students was a large population of the student population was foreign students. Okay. Mm-hmm. We relied on foreign students overseas to come.
Yeah.
Well, when the pandemic happened, they weren't letting anyone come.
That's not going to happen. Yeah.
So what happened was enrollment plummeted, and that's the main, the main payroll for.
That's how you get paid. Yeah.
You get paid, right? So when that happened, I mean, they were just making cuts left and right. I had already thought, I was already kind of doing this and thought, man, if only I could dedicate my full time. And it was like the universe gave me a sign. So I left on my own terms. I was fortunate, but that was sort of the little hint that I needed. So since 2020, I've been doing this full time.
Wow.
Awesome.
That's incredible. You mentioned some of the shops that you have active. So you're currently selling on Merch by Amazon still.
Mm-hmm.
A couple Etsy shops? Two Red
Etsy
Bubble?
Shops.
Okay.
Yep. Two Etsy shops and one Redbubble shop.
Awesome. What differentiates your two Etsy shops?
Basically, one of them is just a generalist print-on-demand shop where I just repurpose a lot of my designs that I'm using with Merch by Amazon, and they go into that shop. It's kind of like doesn't really target a specific audience, so to speak.
Sure.
And then the other one is a very niche specific audience that I've sort of tailored some products to, and you know, there's a growing sort of industry. It's an occupational field. So one's very focused and the other one's very broad.
Very broad.
Okay. Nice. That makes sense. Yeah. And, just so people understand, it's actually like I've heard a lot of misinformation out there that you can't have more than one Etsy shop. And, I have two and Adam, you have two, and it's completely okay. And we just want you guys to know, as long as you're not selling the same products on the other channel, that's really the basic rule of the whole deal. You can have multiple Etsy shops and it's totally fine. And I love the way you did it. You have more of a general shop and then you have more of a niche down specific targeted demographic that you're targeting with Etsy shop number two. That's
exactly.
I think a lot of people do that. And or they might even go, okay, on this shop, I only sell this one particular product. It may be more general, but in the niches that I'm attacking, but maybe it's just posters. That's all I do on this, you know, channel or whatever. Or you can go the way you did with, I'm only going to serve cat lovers and I'm going to do mugs and shirts and hats and whatever. Right. But it's really niche down. So there's a lot of opportunity there on Etsy. It sounds like you kind of figured that out and jumped on the bandwagon. That's awesome, man. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. I think you put that perfectly. And I haven't had any trouble with two shops. I mean, I know a lot of people that have multiple shops. You just let Etsy know, you know, be transparent about it. You know, there's nothing fishy. You say, hey, I've got a different, I'm serving a different audience. This is a totally different brand, you know? You know, if you do that, I mean, Etsy's in the business of wanting people to sell stuff on their platform.
Sure,
you know?
Right. Sure. Sure. So out of all the platforms that you're currently on, Adam, would you say is Merch by Amazon your most lucrative or your bread and butter, your main focus? Or how would you kind of split that up if you had to take all the platforms and decide what's your main source of revenue at the moment, which one's doing best? What's that breakdown look like?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Merch by Amazon is definitely my bread and butter. That's my biggest one. That's the one that I've been on the longest. I'm in tier 100,000, so I've been able to sort of upgrade my slots. And anytime you do that, you can put out more designs. I can test more and figure out what's getting sales. And so that's really my bread and butter what I primarily put most of my time into. The Etsy shops, I would say, come in second, and then probably right in there somewhere with the Etsy shops would be Amazon KDP.
Okay.
And then after that, it would be Redbubble would be after that. And then I have a couple blogs. Those aren't necessarily print on demand, but I have a couple of blogs that I'm using to actually promote my print on demand products, if that makes sense, and use them kind of like target certain print on demand products that match the content that I'm posting on that blog.
Yeah. And if you're niche down and you're Etsy store number two, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Because
you can start a blog on the same exact niche
exactly.
and reference those products a lot and probably reference some of your Merch by Amazon products as well.
Definitely.
That's a really great strategy. Guys, that's a golden nugget, by the way. If you want to do that, that's
should
really
have
smart.
Like an alarm sound effect or something, or
we should.
Like it's a golden nugget. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense, but it's pay attention. It's a golden. We'll have to work on that.
Wait, I got one. Here we go.
That was awesome.
There you go. Or here's another one.
I want to win.
If you want to win, golden that's nugget. Right. Rewind and one and understand why we played three consecutive sound bites that have no coherency to them at all. They don't go together. So let's kind of niche down or dial in on the. Yeah, go ahead, Travis. I feel like you have another.
I was just gonna ask. Before we get into kind of some of those specific questions about Merch by Amazon, I'm curious, like, what are you seeing in regards to like similar products on different channels? Like, you mentioned you test a lot on Merch by Amazon. I'm wondering if the testing that you do on Merch by Amazon has any correlation with what you decide to launch on Etsy, or if you're doing completely separate testings on Etsy. In other words, is there any correlation? Are they the same kind of buyer? Are they totally different? What's your experience there?
No, that's another great question. So I think what I've seen or really one of the biggest things that I've noticed or picked up on is the type of designs or sort of just, I guess, maybe the type of content or, designs for each different platform. So, for Amazon, I have a lot of success with designs that would almost seem outdated on something like Etsy. So I think some of the trends and some of the styles and things like that are on Etsy are a little bit more ahead than what's on Amazon. Amazon is a lot of the big design on a shirt, right? If you're doing a standard tee, a big design, something that's really pops on the front. Whereas Etsy, I feel like, is a little bit more stylistic, maybe a simple text or something like that. Not necessarily these big, loud and bright kind of designs. Mm-hmm. And then, Redbubble, as an example, I find a lot of success with things that look good on stickers or water bottles. I think a lot of people that shop on Redbubble, at least for what I'm uploading, they're not necessarily looking for apparel. They're looking for other merchandise. Like I mentioned, these stickers wall clocks, the water bottles, things like that, that's almost going to be like a more of a decorative piece, right? Or a statement piece, something they stick on their laptop or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I've definitely seen some differences in sort of the designs. I can typically look at a design and say, okay, I know this will do good on Etsy. Or I know this will do good on Merch by Amazon, and this will do good on, Redbubble.
Okay.
Sure. That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
So let's, what I was going to ask before was just focusing on Merch by Amazon. Tell us a little bit about how you create your designs and how many designs you're uploading, kind of what that process looks like as you've been building that platform out.
Yeah, definitely. So, I'm not a graphic designer, or I should say I'm not a talented graphic designer. I do some graphic design myself, and I've tried to teach myself as much as I can. But the bulk of my portfolio is stuff that I research and then I outsource and I hire graphic designers to create for me. Okay. I have been able to have some success with a small sort of sub niche of designs, and that I do myself, and that's just text-based designs, fonts. Okay. I love fonts, right?
Sure.
So that's one thing I learned early on. It's like, well, I can't hand illustrate, a dragon doing some cool thing, but I could type on a keyboard, and there's so many different fonts, and these fonts can be really impactful, right? Depending on the design and what you're trying to do. So I do a lot of the simple designs and text-based designs I do myself, but most of the illustrative or graphic design work, I'm outsourcing. And I've got at any time between one and two part-time graphic designers that I work with on Google Docs. And basically I send them batches of graphic design work that's all in a related niche. So when I first started, I would say, you know, I want a St. Patrick's Day design, and then I want a Valentine's design, and then I want a 4th of July design, and then I want a, you know, fishing design. And they were kind of jumping all around, and there really wasn't any cohesion. So I quickly learned that it's better to do this in batches. So now what I'll do is I'll order like 10 or 20 different designs all within the same niche. And then within that niche, I'll test a couple different types of designs, right? Maybe something that's more simplistic, and maybe something that's very, you know, bright and colorful and, you know, strong statement piece, but it'll be the same niche, the same keywords. And then I can get some feedback on what sells and what clicks, you know, what kind of clicks am I getting? What kind of feedback am I getting?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty much my process is I'm outsourcing a lot of my design work. I'm doing all the research, all the keywords and descriptions and, you know, the SEO backend stuff. Mm-hmm. I do all the uploading myself and I just kind of keep this constant churn. And then if I have any products that I think I can repurpose on Etsy or Redbubble or even on Amazon KDP, then I'll put them on Redbubble products, or I'll put them on a KDP notebook or a journal or something like that, and kind of just continue to just, you know, go through that system.
Yeah. A couple questions about like the graphic design piece. And I'm curious, for one, are you paying per design or are you paying per hour? And then the second question would be, where do you find these designers?
Yeah. So I usually pay per design. I've experimented a little bit with per hour and just, you know, I don't really have anything against it. It just hasn't worked for me and kind of my system. You know, these are usually remote, you know, freelancers and graphic designers. Mm-hmm. And I think per design it's pretty straightforward, right? It's like, you're going to get this much per design, and they know what they're getting and if I do a good job of explaining what kind of graphic design I want, giving them examples or whatever the case may be, it shouldn't take them more time than, you know, what's agreed upon to make it. So
yeah,
usually do per design. And I mean, I've found designers from all over the place. I, you know, I've used Fiverr before. Mm-hmm. I've used Upwork before. I've had some pretty good success on onlinejobs.ph. Are you guys familiar with that?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yep. Had some good success there. You can really find some talented folks and some, especially for longer term work.
Yeah.
Not the kind of platform you want to go to for, you know, one design or 10 designs, but longer term, you know, when you're ready to pick somebody up part time and have steady contribution, I've had some good luck there. And then my secret platform that I've had some of the best success with is actually just Instagram, and just literally searching for hashtags that are either match the niche of the type of design I'm looking for, or hashtags like freelance designer, freelance graphic artist. And you know, most of these graphic artists, they have some kind of visual portfolio, and a lot of them use Instagram, and I'll literally just message them. Some of them don't even advertise as a graphic designer. They're just artists, you know? And I say, hey, I love your work. I explain what I do and say, would you be interested in doing a commission? I'll pay you, you know, a paid commission piece. I'll pay you this much. This is kind of what I'm looking for. And I found some really, really talented folks that way. So Instagram is another one.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I hadn't heard that one before. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's another golden nugget. I want to win. Going to be that for the rest of this show's existence. So, so you said you have a couple of designers. Do you have anyone else that currently helps in the business or in your business? You know, anyone that's kind of working part time for you? Is it just you and your designers? What's the structure like?
It's just me and my designers and my girlfriend. My girlfriend will help me out. So, she helps me out whenever I get backed up with stuff. You know, she'll jump on and help me do some research, or, you know, if I need to put some revisions on some designs or something like that, she helps me out. But I don't use any, VAs or anything. So it's pretty much just me and my girlfriend. And then, you know, whatever kind of outsourced help that we hire, which is, like I said, usually graphic designers.
Wow. That was That's a great answer, but I was completely distracted by Josiah just ghosting us and then coming back in the wrong spot. And
yeah, I saw everything jumping around there.
Yeah, and you, Adam, you just kept trucking.
Hey, so I just
good job,
it,
man. Hey, he left again. I don't know what's going on with his thing, but I was curious. You kind of talked about this earlier, but like, how does your merch business intersect with your Etsy business? And is it kind of just what you've said, where if something does well on Amazon merch, you may end up putting it on Etsy? Because obviously you have a million slot, well, you have, 100,000 tier 100,000 in merch by Amazon. So you can do a lot with that. Etsy, it's 20 cents every time you list something. So there's a cost with that. What is your kind of, I guess, criteria for, hey, we're going to, put this to Etsy. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good point. Yeah. It's 20 cents per listing whenever you add on Etsy. And so, that can add up. I mean, if you have hundreds or even thousands of different, products in your shop, it definitely adds up. So I do try and be strategic about what I move to the Etsy shops. So on my general shop, which has quite a few designs on it, I only move something over there that either A, was specifically designed for Etsy because it's, like I was saying, that sort of style that I think that typically does well on Etsy, or B, if it's already had success on Merch by Amazon. Because if I can prove, okay, somebody out there bought this on Merch by Amazon, right? I've reached some kind of customer. Now it's worth the 20 cents to put it up on Etsy and see if it'll get some sales that way.
Okay.
And then on my niche specific shop, on that one, it's not quite as big a portfolio of products because it's, like I said, it's very specific. So I don't have as many designs, but what I do there is I'll test a lot of different products. So I'll do apparel, then I'll also do a lot of the other stuff on there, like phone cases, laptop cases, sticker packs, hoodies and tank tops and, a bunch of different things. And that's typically repurposing designs that are on the shop that have sold. If I sold it on a t-shirt, then I'll go and put it on, if it applies, then I'll go and put it on half a dozen different merchandise types, like those, water bottles and phone cases and stuff.
And are you just using Printful, or are you using Printify and Printful or other suppliers?
Right now I'm just using Printful.
Okay.
Just using Printful. I want to try Printify. I've heard good things. I just haven't, that's just, one of my many to-do lists. I want to try and put in some Printify stuff and kind of test the waters with them as well.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool. Let's see what else we got here. Josiah's back.
Can you hear me? Am I back?
You are back.
Yep.
Oh my God. That was awful.
That's terrible.
I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, it was just like, your camera's done. Anyway, did you guys touch on Amazon ads yet? That was a question.
No, that was the next one. Go for it.
Yeah. So you mentioned in the bio, you kind of sent her kind of the form that we sent you to fill out, which is the sum total of our vetting process that you filled out for us. That you have had some success with Amazon ads. So that might be something that those listening may not have that much experience with, but could maybe definitely benefit from. So do you have any tips you could share concerning Amazon ads and your experience and the successes you've had with that?
Yeah, definitely. So I've been doing Amazon ads. I actually ran Amazon ads even back when I was doing FBA. So I've been on there for a couple of years now, and it, the platform changes the features and things like that. But in generally, it's mostly the same. And I think Amazon ads they're a great way to drive traffic to your listings or to promote a product. They really are, and they can be very powerful, but they can be extremely expensive, and they can get away from you quick if you, don't have sort of a strategy and a game plan. So my advice, if you're new to Amazon ads or if you're interested in starting Amazon ads, is don't be afraid to start off very slow or small with your budgets. So you can typically set a daily budget on an ad campaign. So for example, if I wanted to promote, a small group of Valentine's Day shirts for Valentine's Day coming up next month, I want to set a daily budget of no more than $5 per day. And that mm-hmm. tells the, you know, the ad system, you're not going to allow more than $5 to be spent per day on that. And I think you can go as low as like $1 or $2 per day.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. so go as whatever is your comfort level with, but start small. And then your bids, which is, you know, how much you're going to actually bid for a click based on, you know, the type of campaign you're doing, go small with those as well. Mm-hmm. always start low and incrementally, you know, increase your bids until you start to see some traction. And, you know, that's my main advice is just if you throw it up and you go, oh, I'm going to do, you know, I can do $20 a day and I'm going to bid, you know, 75 cents a click, you're going to blow through some money so quick before you have a long enough data field to really analyze and determine what's working and what's not. And,
yeah.
and so I think, you know, starting off the slow or low bids and low daily budget, and you want to let these bids run. The longer a right. campaign runs, the more data you're going to get. And that is really important to figure out, well, which products are getting clicks and which of those clicks are converting to a sale. And so you really got to run these things for like a couple weeks to mm-hmm. really start to some good traction and get some good data from them.
Yeah. I'm assuming you're starting out with automatic as opposed to manual campaigns.
I mostly start with automatic campaigns. Yeah, I mostly mm-hmm. do like an automatic campaign for, like I said, for like, you know, those batches right. that I mentioned that I designed for. I'll run an automatic lottery campaign for that exact batch. And then
right.
if any successes, I'll run those over to a manual campaign. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'll go straight to manual. Like if I'm trying to really push or promote a product, like this past Christmas, I had some Christmas related designs. I was pretty well knew what the, you know, main group of keywords were. And I just mm-hmm. went straight to manual on those and, you know, did a manual campaign with some pretty aggressive bids because I wanted to get that up in the rankings
yeah.
prior to Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much you can, I mean, the rabbit hole goes so freaking deep with advertising, even just on Amazon, but they do make it relatively easy to, you know, start a, you know, an auto campaign, which basically that just means that Amazon is basically choosing which keywords they think are relevant based on your title, your description, your keywords in the back end. And then they send traffic. And to your point, Adam, the longer you can do that, the better Amazon gets mm-hmm. and at figuring out what keywords actually are, you know, working.
Yep.
And so, and then you can also download all that data and you can see what keywords are working.
Yep.
And to your point, then you can take those keywords or a certain subset of those, put it into a manual campaign, add a couple other things that you think. And in your manual campaign, you can do broad match, you can do phrase match, you can do exact match. I, mm-hmm. with my manual campaigns, I'm terrified they're going to screw them up. So most of the time I'm using exact match because I know what, in my mind, this is what the person's going to type into Amazon in order to find my product. So I don't want Amazon thinking about that, you know, or... and then you can also do negative keywords. So if I have a white mug, I do a negative keyword of black mug, you know, because I don't want somebody to search for a black mug with the nurse design.
Because to your point, if you didn't do that, Amazon will show that.
Yeah,
their system will show it. Someone will inevitably click it, and then you just got charged, but you're not going to get a sale. So that's a great point.
Yeah, and so you can use the negative to kind of even make those manual campaigns even more granular and more directed towards your targeted customer. So like I say, the freaking rabbit hole goes deep. So
it does. You guys could probably do an entire, you know, podcast series just on Amazon ads.
Yeah.
And no one would listen because it's boring.
It's a very dense subject. It's not very interesting.
Spreadsheet and cross-reference it with this other spreadsheet and then, you know, carry the one. You know?
Definitely. That's awesome.
I was going to ask you though, in regards to, so when I first started Merch by Amazon, they didn't allow you to use sponsored ads on merch. It only came later. And then even then, at one point it was like a portal that you had to have. It was different than like the old FBA kind of sponsored ads that you see on Seller Central. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious, is there a similarity now? Have they kind of merged them all into one, the one sponsored products kind of app, and you can run adds to your Merch by Amazon things and your Amazon Seller Central things, or are they still separate?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not 100% sure on that because when I was approved for Amazon ads, it's what you were just mentioning where it was like the old portal system, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yep. Okay.
So I got like approved for that, but it wasn't directly linked to my Amazon
Seller
merch.
Central.
Yeah.
Oh, to your merch. Okay.
It wasn't directly linked to my Amazon merch. Whereas now I've from just talking to some of other folks I know that do merch that are fairly new, they actually in their Merch by Amazon platform, once they reach a certain amount of sales or tier, it will say you're now eligible for sponsored ads and you can click within the platform and apply. But I still go to like the old, I can't remember exactly what it's called.
I know what you're talking about. I can't think about it either, but yeah. I know it's a separate login. It's a separate thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how mine is. It's still a separate mm-hmm. login and everything. And I think that they've just grandfathered those accounts in, you know, or something.
Yeah, okay.
But now I do know that if you apply for the Merch by Amazon program, you're not eligible for ads right away. But then once you know, eventually you hit this metric, bam, you can apply. And then it's like integrated right in your dashboard.
Nice. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, Josiah, you want to take the next one?
Yeah, for sure. So what does a day in the life look like for you? What's your current flow? You said you're doing this full time. So just walk us through the typical day in Adam Young's life, POD workflow. How's that look like?
Yeah. I was trying to think of something funny to say because I feel like, you know, and maybe you guys can relate to this where you're just like, you know, you're juggling a million different things and you're checking your email or maybe like two or three different, you know, I've got two or three different email accounts up on my browser right now. And, you know, I've got half a dozen different, you know, notes written on three different notepads of things I need to do. And, you know, your brain's constantly racing. I mean,
sticky notes everywhere.
Yeah. Sticky notes. And, you know, that's the funny version. But, you know, I think a typical day for me is trying to start off the day prioritizing what I need to get done or what I need to do. And that usually revolves around those core sort of businesses or side hustles that we talked about. So, you know, merch is usually my first thing that I'm, you know, I'll go in and I'll check my, my sales dashboard for the day prior to see what I ended the day at. I'll check my ad spend and see if I need to make any tweaks to my ad spend, you know, my ad campaigns. And then I'll go onto my email and check in with my designer and our workflow there to see, does he have any new designs for me to review? Do I need to give him some more, you know, content to create? And usually get that kind of, you know, put away for a few minutes and then I'll jump to Amazon KDP or to Etsy or to Redbubble, or my blogs, you know, something along those lines and sort of jump around between those different systems. And, you know, honestly, that's one thing that I really, in 2023 said, I need to get a better structure and a better system, right. On organization and priorities and things like that. But, you know, I'm probably a lot like a lot of other people that maybe started off in this wanting to, just make a few extra bucks and then kind of saw the potential and you kind of get this growing monster. And then now you're like, man, I've got to, you know, this is a business. This is something I've got to really get my hands around, treat it like a business. And, you know, it has this ups and downs and challenges like anything else, but you know, I'm on the computer for, geez, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 hours a day. Sometimes that's one of the reasons I wanted to reach out to you guys, because I, you know, when you're a online entrepreneur or a solopreneur, whatever you want to call it, you know, I don't have an office and coworkers. I want to network, you know, drink beer with Travis and shoot the shit. And, you know what I mean? And network a little bit and bounce some ideas and stuff like that. So spend a lot of time on the computer, but just trying to kind of keep the ball rolling on these different things. And that may change throughout the time of year for priorities on, you know, trends and seasons and what I'm working on or certain projects. Like, I started a YouTube channel in December. And so that's been sort of at the forefront here lately. I've been kicking the can on doing a YouTube. I've always wanted to try it. And finally, my girlfriend said, just do it. You know, so I just jumped in it and trying it.
That's awesome. What's the overall plan with the YouTube channel? Like, you know, if you think about what you would want it to have or the content you want to put on there, what does that look like?
Yeah. So, I would really like it to be a channel that would almost speak to me 5 years ago. That's kind of my vision when I started. That's awesome. It, right?
Yeah.
So I know how it is when you're like, you know, you need to make a couple extra bucks and you feel like, man, I know there's potential out there or business opportunity, but where do I get started? And how do I get started? Yeah. And so my channel, you know, right now, most of the content I'm putting on there is about print on demand, because mm-hmm. that's my bread and butter. That's what I have the most experience with. And I'm trying to kind of start with that narrow focus. But over time, I'd like to be able to expand and talk about these other online business opportunities like KDP, you know, like Etsy, like blogging and, you know, affiliate marketing. And and I really want to make it so that, I mean, you guys have, I'm sure, have seen on YouTube, you can't go more than a few scrolls. And it's just, there's so much of this like gimmick, get rich quick, kind of scammy stuff on YouTube. And that's not my style. Like I'm kind of in the camp of like, look, there is money to be made online. There is real money you can make with print on demand and with KDP, but it ain't going to happen overnight. And it takes work and focus and commitment. And you've got to treat it like a business and put in the time. So that's kind of like the channel I want to make, right? It's like telling my story, sharing my tips and tricks, like encourage, motivating people that like, hey, you know, I'm nothing special. Anyone can do this. If you're stubborn enough and you put in the time and the work, you can be successful. You just got to stick with it and grind it out. It's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. We did an episode 120, 20 ways to quote, make money in your sleep. And it was basically just us ripping apart all of these get rich quick.
They're terrible.
Kind of ranting a little bit, but it's funny. You might appreciate it, Adam. So go check out.
Yeah, I will. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
You'll just laugh along with us.
Yeah. It's awesome that you say you want to make the YouTube channel that you wish you would have found 5 years ago, because that's why we started this podcast.
100%.
For print on demand. Because it was, Travis and I had always talked about this idea for years, realizing that, and no slight disrespect to anyone that had content out there before we decided to start this show, but there definitely seemed to be a gap of a good, resourceful information that can kind of help guide you. So we were like, finally, you know, two or three years ago, just like, okay, we're just going to bite the bullet and who knows what's going to happen. And I love that. Here we are. Yeah. So
that's great. And I mean, you guys, you can tell just by listening to you guys, like I said, the couple episodes I've listened to, this is something you guys are obviously passionate about. I think the podcast is really well done. I mean, you guys got the sound effects, you know, the cool backgrounds. Like I was looking at the website, and you know, you guys have got the branding, you know, all that stuff. And the little intro at the beginning of the podcast, is really good. So, you know, you guys, you could tell you've got, you know, an invested interest in this business, in this space, and it comes through. So I think anytime you can do that and kind of share your message or story, it's going to resonate, because there's other people out there that feel the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And the check is in the mail. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. You found another side hustle. Come and just compliment our podcast.
All right.
Hey, every 12 episodes, just stop by every month.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Oh man, that's awesome. So we're going to go to our magic questions, which is a series of questions we ask all of our guests. But first, before we do that, we have to get to another segment that is everybody's favorite moment of the show. And you mentioned the sound effects, Adam, on the show. You'll also come to learn that we have a copious amount of unnecessary bumpers to accompany everything that we do. So with that being said, it's time for this week's dad joke.
Time for the weekly dad joke.
All right.
That's great.
You are the guest of honor. And so we are going to let you go first with your weekly dad joke.
All right. Okay, so here it is. Okay, a dad and his kids are taking a long drive down Route 66 going on vacation. And right as the sun's going down, a rabbit runs in front of them, and the dad accidentally hits the rabbit. So he pulls over. The kids are upset. They jump out of the car, and they say, oh, my gosh, you know, what happened? What happened? And dad looks down, and the rabbit's laying there dead. He thinks, man, what can I do? So he says, I got it. He goes to the trunk of the car. he gets out a can of spray, he shakes it real hard, and he runs over to the rabbit, and he sprays the rabbit, and the rabbit jumps up, runs about 10 feet, turns around and waves, and then runs again, turns around and waves, runs again, turns around and waves. And off into the sunset, this rabbit just ran away waving. And the kids are delighted. They're, you know, hugging the dad, and they're so happy. And they ask the dad, and they say, "Dad, what was in the can?" And he holds it up, and it says, "Hairspray restores dead hair and adds permanent wave."
Oh, that man.
That was a good setup. I mean, that was like,
yeah.
And after, yeah, no rabbits were harmed in the making of that joke.
No rabbits were harmed.
But
I'll tell you that almost takes, I mean, if we had an award for guest dad joke, that was
all right.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was, sure. I'll take it. That was great. All right, Travis, you brought this week's I'll let you. Yeah, you do it.
So actually today I learned, so I grew up playing video games and loved Mortal Kombat among others. And I learned that the game Mortal Kombat is actually based on an old Nordic children's song, which I thought was very interesting. It's a Finnish hymn.
That's Finish great. Him.
So stupid.
The stupider the better, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's great. Okay, so we will move on to this week's magic questions. And before we started pressing record, we learned that you're close to Orlando, which is close to Disney World, which means, ipso facto, if that's even how that phrase is said, that you will love this next bumper for the magic questions.
I like the little turrets.
Nice.
With the t-shirts on them.
Yeah.
Yes. Good. All right, Travis, you ask the first here out of this list.
All right. I always like going this route. So tell us about a time when something happened in your business that felt like a total failure.
Oh, geez. Where do I begin, right? I mean, I've had plenty of those.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, I can think back to, you know, when I mentioned I did Amazon FBA, I can think back to when I've spent a couple $1,000s on inventory only for it to that particular product to get gated on Amazon. Then I wasn't able to sell it, you know. And at the time, has that happened to you guys?
Yeah. Oh,
100%. Yeah. I'll tell you a quick story when you're done here, but go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, no, that was it. I mean, that just, at the time, you know, now I can kind of laugh and giggle about it. But at the time, I mean, if you just wrote a check and you spent, you know, $1,800 on product and I've got boxes in my living room and then all of a sudden I cannot sell them anymore. And you feel like you got the rug yanked out from under you. And now I got, you know, all these products. I mean, it was pretty disheartening and devastating. Yeah. And that was a quick lesson in anytime you're selling on someone else's platform, like Amazon or anyone else, they control... They have the cards. You're kind of doing what they tell you on their terms.
Yeah, for sure. So just a quick question. I only say this because I have to relive the failure of this particular thing multiple times, at least once a month. So we were doing FBA and we're going to private label something. And Travis and I are both avid poker players and avid in the fact that we love to play poker. Right. And so we thought, man, we should just make our own custom poker chips. Right. And there was a idea that I had seen. We had a wholesale account with this guy who was selling chips that were based off of American currency. And I just thought, I like that idea. I could do it better because the quality wasn't great. So I'm going to improve upon it. I'm going to call it the Benjamins and it's going to be amazing. So we did that. Mm-hmm. And then we did a Colorado specific set. And so in the Benjamin set, I went with what the currency is, 5, 10, 20, 50, 100, right? Mm-hmm. Traditionally, poker chips are in 25s.
And you put the presidents 20s, on them.
Yeah, it looks like, yeah, the front looks like, you know, the front of the $20 bill, the back looks like the back. So Did that, and man, I was excited. Everything looked great. Everything was numbers wise made sense. We paid for the samples. They produced them. They shipped them over, and then we reran the numbers, and the particular market or demand for these chips just tanked. The ROIs were no longer great. So I spent 3 months just designing these chips, and I was like, well, they won't go to waste because we play poker all of the time. So they are now a part of the amalgamation of poker chips that I have that we play with every month. And every single time a new player shows up to this game, they look at that green chip and they say, why does this say $20 on it? And then I have to retell what I just told you every single time.
Emotional damage.
Yeah, you have to relive the pain.
Every time. Yeah, I just want to like tell them, like, you know what? You're done. You don't get any chips.
So you get nothing.
I don't want to hear it from you. So that's my constant reminder of that one time when I was super excited to do something and then Amazon kicked me right in the shorts. Okay, so the next question. Let's see. Here's a good one that I like to talk about. Throughout your POD career, talk about how important like mentoring and training has been. Do you have some people that you credit with like helping you kind of understand the business, whether it's an author, whether you know them, you don't know them, but like how important has that been in your journey to have someone that you can kind of go to for advice or glean off of their experience?
Yeah, I think that's super important. I didn't really have anyone face to face, you know, that was like in my, you know, close friend group or anything like that, that did print on demand. But early on, I definitely joined some Facebook groups and, jumped on YouTube and, you know, Reddit, just kind of scouring, right? Trying to read as much as I could. And yeah, you tend to find people that I think are their messaging resonates with you. You know, I found a couple people that are like, wow, he explains he or she explains things well, where that makes sense to me. So you follow them and I always tried to participate, you know, when I could, about either leaving comments or asking questions. I've jumped on a lot of live streams, you know, where people are doing things and or, you know, you can interact in the chat. And I was always like that guy that's like, oh, I have a question, or like, hey, how can I learn this? Or like, hey, here's what's worked for me, you know, because I really found that when you're, you know, this isn't, people think that like, you know, oh, there's print on demand, there's it's too saturated, there's too many sellers. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, come on, it's a great opportunity. There's 100%, countless ways. And it doesn't matter if you come on, because you're still going to have to put in the work. You're still going to have to create a good design. You know, the cream is going to rise to the top, but you know, I didn't have any specific individual mentors, but I would say I definitely jumped into the community, right, virtually, and have for years. And that's another reason why I want to start my YouTube, because I want to give back and participate. I mean, it's fun to talk about this stuff. I mean, this is an enjoyable thing.
Yeah.
Fully agree.
All right, Travis, take the final question that we...
All right. The one we always end with, it's the crystal ball question. So put on your turban and get your crystal ball out and tell us what you think the future of print on demand is.
Okay. I thought about this a little bit. I think big picture, okay? Big picture, print on demand is that more and more companies, retailers, platforms, e-commerce platforms, things like that, more and more people are going to shift to print on demand. I think, and that may not even be revolutionary. I don't know. If I tell my friends that have no idea what print on demand is, they're like, what are you talking about? But what I basically just mean is that, you know, gone are the days where people, you know, if you ran a small clothing store, you had to buy, you know, 10 large shirts in black and 10 medium shirts in red and, you know, 10 smalls. I think that print on demand itself is going to only get bigger way outside of apparel. I mean, we're talking about all kinds of different products. And I think companies are going to click with them, and they're going to say, hey, what, instead of having all this inventory, why don't we just either outsource it with print on demand or create our own print on demand facilities? Then we don't have this storage issue and this inventory issue where we're only doing the work when the money comes in. I mean, just the business model and concept of it, I think we've only begun to scratch the surface, right? And I think in another 5 or 10 years, there's going to be print-on-demand stuff that, like, we would have never dreamed of, right? That they're going to be pumping out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Sure. Awesome. Well, man, Adam, thank you so much for coming on. First of all, you did it. You survived talking to us. Hopefully it wasn't that bad.
There you go.
But accomplishment nonetheless. Before we go, go ahead and let people know where they can find you, YouTube, any social media that you're on, and then we'll add the links in the show notes so that people can easily access how to find you. But yeah, take a second and plug your social media, websites, whatever you got, to let people know how to follow you if they have questions, how to get in touch.
Yeah, definitely. My YouTube channel is called Side Hustles Simplified with Adam Young. And I think you can find it youtube.com/@SideHustleSimplified. And then I'm on Instagram @SideHustleSimplified and on TikTok @SideHustleSimplified. So any of those platforms, I'm on there. Feel free send me a message or drop a comment, and I'm happy to help or answer any questions. And thank you guys, seriously, for having me on. I mean, I was a total stranger. I just emailed you and was like, hey, I'd love to be on and chat. And you guys sort of, rolled the dice. So I really appreciate it. It was really nice to meet you guys. I'm definitely going to tune in on these episodes. I'd love to have you on my channel sometime, and I can ask you guys some questions.
Sure.
I know you guys have a ton of other experience in different areas. In fact, one other quick thing, Travis, I think I saw an episode with you with Ryan Hoag where you talked about Walmart print on demand. Is that right?
Yep.
I would love to learn more about that. That's on my to-do list for 2023. Sure. So I know you guys have a ton of knowledge. And thank you. And I promise to return the favor.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, yeah, man. We look forward to it, man. We'd love to come on your show, whether it's both of us together, individually, whatever that looks like. The answer is yes. Just let us know. And we would love to hop on and chat. And if you have nothing to do this weekend, just fly across the country to California. We'll be there at the trade show if you just want to come hang out.
Yeah. Long Beach, ISS.
Yeah, Long Beach. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Print on demand trade show there. So, but no, man, it was really great talking to you. And we look forward to catching up again and hearing about all the new ventures and all the success that you continue to have. So until then, man, it's been great.
Thank you very much, guys. It was nice to meet you both. Appreciate it.
Likewise. All right. We want to thank Adam again for taking time out of his schedule to chat with us and talk all things POD, his journey, some of those golden nuggets, which I think, Travis, I have a better idea. I think the next time someone drops a golden nugget, we have them repeat it, and then we play this. See? Because it's educational. Hey, the more you know. Lots of gets there. Really enjoyed it. Anything you took away, Travis, from the interview with Adam that you think our listeners should kind of maybe focus in on or rewind, listen again? What's your take?
I mean, I know we just talked about Golden Nugget, and the one that I loved, and I said it in the interview, was just the idea of, starting up a niche print-on-demand site and then on the side having, a blog that you're really focusing in on and using that to kind of push people over to your print on demand site to purchase products. And there's a lot of synergy that can be accomplished in that. I mean, you could just have a site that had a blog on it that sold products. Of course you could do that too.
Sure.
There's more than one way to skin the proverbial
or skin cat. A proverbial cat. Wait, so we didn't let the proverbial cat out of the bag, and now we're saying that there's more than one way to let that proverbial cat. Is it in the bag still? Are we skinning it in the bag? I don't know.
I would hope if it's skinned, it should probably be put in a bag. This is going way too south.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
No cats were harmed in the filming of this podcast.
Yeah. I didn't know what to do. I was confused.
I'm not sure what to do with my hands.
So it was great having Adam on again. You can find him on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Side Hustle Simplified, which I think that's a great name to me. Side Hustle Simplified. It's got enough alliteration on there. Rolls off the tongue. Very cool name of his channel. So check him out. We also know that he'll be joining the Facebook group in the near future. Hopefully by the time this drops, he'll have joined the group. And so if you guys have questions for Adam, you can ask them there as well. And as always, that is printondemandcast.com/Facebook. is where you can go to join the conversation. I just had a post today welcoming 4 or 5 new members, which is awesome. It's always good to see more people joining the show, and it's always a good time. So with that being said, we know that this one, the interview ran a little longer than we typically have interviews do, but it was a good conversation. So we really enjoyed it. So thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to reach out to us,
Attention Hotline fans,
like Adam did, and you want to ask us a question, or you want to even say, hey, I'd love to come chat with you guys, you can do that. Like I said, printondemandcast.com/Facebook. You can also email us info@printondemandcast. If you don't, .com, got to add that on there. Just don't leave that off. It won't go anywhere. But if you guys don't do social media, you can reach out to us there as well. We are on Instagram and YouTube. You can find that by going to printondemandcast.com/Instagram and /YouTube to find our content there as well. And wherever there are podcasts, the PODcast is there for your listening, entertainment, and education. So we just ask that if you're on the Apple Podcast app, leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the show. Favorite dad joke, favorite guest, favorite segment, whatever it is, just let us know. We'd love to hear from you guys. And then share the podcast. Share it on your social media feeds. Text it to your friends, whatever you want to do. But if you know someone that needs this information, that could use the content that we're producing, let them know. Because at the end of the day, the reason I, Travis, are doing this is because we want to educate and help people kind of start on this journey of print on demand. So Travis, that being said, anything else to add before we wrap this one up?
I don't think so. See you guys in ISS. If you are coming, please, yes, hit us up,
let us
via
know.
Email, yeah, or on the Facebook page, yeah, or something. I had somebody commented on one of our YouTube videos and said, hey, see you in ISS. And I'm like, I hope so.
Who are you?
Let us know.
if you're listening to that random commenter, and please go to Facebook, go to Instagram. Again, if you don't do either of those, email us. Let us know who you are and how to, yep, contact you, because we would legitimately love to meet up and grab a bite to eat or a drink or whatever.
And get a dad joke from you.
And get a dad joke when you talk into the mic that will be held in the fancy new print-on-demand can. Cast. My God, I can't talk. I've done too much.
True international effort to pressure.
Okay, so we're gonna wrap this thing up right now. For Travis, I'm Josiah. We'll see you next week right here on the Print on Demand Cast.
See ya.
Hey babe, thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Print on Demand Cast. We hope you enjoyed the Totally Tubular Show. If you got a question or a suggestion for the show, send Travis and Josiah an email at info@printondemandcast.com. Wanna be wicked nice? Take a minute to rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe now so you don't miss next week's episode. See you next time for sure.